Yeah, I grew up in, I was born in 106 Millbrook Road, Springfield. That's down the road. I spent 23 years there before I met Wendy. Mm-hmm. And then we had a house in Covelyn Vach. Then we finally moved up to the Pentholen. And basically that's where we are. No, we moved back down to Springfield, sorry, as well. But that has been my home life, you would say. That's it. I mean, my working life extended from, I suppose, 8-year-old, my first job, believe it or not.
Yeah, what sorts of things did you used to do?
Well, I, 8-year-old and 9-year-old, believe it or believe it not, I worked for the Moores brothers down the mill. Do anyone know the mill?
No.
Yeah? No. Do you know the history about a mill at all? Well, I used to work for the Moores brothers, two lovely gentlemen, and they acclaimed to fame was they were the first people in Britain to receive the distress signal on a Titanic. Uh-huh. And they picked that up in the mill.
That's interesting.
Yeah, no, not a lot of people know that, but that's actually true, because they worked, they were working for Edison. He used to pay him so much to retain. But I think it was due to the location, because it's a funny location down there, because you won't hear your radio when you go over the Mill Bridge and around that area,
yeah,
in that loop. So whether that aided them or not, I don't know. But I used to work for them. They used to grind corn for the pigeon fancies around here. And then my job on a Saturday, and I used to get sixpence for it, I'd jump in an old van and I'd drive from the mill up to the welfare in Springfield. And across the welfare was a dam, right?
Yeah.
And the side of the dam was where they extracted the water to run down to the mill when they wanted operator.
Oh, to get it to...
Yeah. So my job, although I was in the 8 or 9, we'd have to go across here in the water into the river, and we'd have little bars, and we'd slowly move the concrete they put on there to sluice it. And he'd say, well, that's enough water, back to the mill, and then the mill would start turning in. And then my job was with them delivering packets of corn round to the local thing. And I worked ever since from there then.
And that was from eight years old?
8 year old, because we had no pocket money, and the only money I had was sixpence a week off them.
So it was hard work.
Well, it... Yeah, but I think everyone else done it as well, see? You know, my friend had two milk rounds. I had 2 paper rounds as well. And a milk round to finish it off. Then on a greengrocer's van. And I was still doing that when I was in Oakdale School, because we had no pocket money. You couldn't go to a mum or dad, could you? There were 7 of us in the house. And you know, dad working in the mine in Wiley Colliery. Because I remember when I used to go to school, perhaps all you've locked out there. You'd be in school, wouldn't you? And then you'd say, put your hands up for the school trip, wouldn't you? Do you want to go to Austria for a fortnight skiing then? Do you want to go to France on a sailboat? I used to put my hand up all the time. And then I used to take a letter home and I'd give it to my mum and say, oh, can I go there? And she'd open the letter and she'd go, well, I want £18. And I'd go, yeah. And she said, do you know what your father earns? I haven't got a clue, mum. £7 a week, love. So we know you're not going to Austria or France. You could go to Barry with the club, but you certainly won't be going to Austria or France. It was hard bringing up, wasn't it? But we didn't know any difference.
It's just what you did. You said your father worked for the colliery.
Yeah, 47 years.
Yeah, how did that in fact affect family life? Was your mother and yourself worried about him being down there or what could happen?
No, I think I was a bit too young for it. I was just fascinated.
Yeah.
Because I think, same time, when I was about 8 or 9, he took me and my brother down to the Wiley Colliery. We walked down there. And he took us down the pit. He arranged with the manager to take us down the pit bottom to see what it's like at the bottom of a mine. Like, and perhaps that was in my head. I don't know, like.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, but I just thought it was fascinating, being dirty all the time and getting paid for it, you know what I mean? But that was the only thing I can truly remember was, well, there's two things. I couldn't work out why your dad went to bed when he came home from work on day shift, see? He used to be in the house at 3:30. And then he'd have a dinner, then go to bed. And I couldn't work out. I was going, why's your dad going to bed now? Because it's only like 4 o'clock in the afternoon in the summer, like. And I found out when I started working in the colliery. Because you come home and you fell asleep eating your dinner, it was that hard.
Yeah.
And you either fell asleep on the table, which is true, or I just used to go on the settee and then wake up about 9 o'clock at night and time to go to bed. And then I realised then why I used to go to bed. Because after walking to work, doing your work, coming back home, you had no time to do anything else because you was that tired.
Yeah, like absolutely exhausted.
And the only other time I can remember, a terrible time, I don't know how old I was, I must have been 9. He came in the kitchen, because he worked away, and he came in his dirty clothes, and I never seen him. No one ever seen him in his dirty clothes. Never used to come home in them, because they had the bars in there. And I don't know what time it was, about 10 o'clock or 11 o'clock, something like that. And I kept saying to him, where's your dad? Oh, man. I said, oh, look at that lamp, Dad. And he had his lamp on it. And he just kept saying, go away, boy. I've got to go back out now. There's a lorry picking us up. And I found out after that was the Abervanlock. They was taking all the miners up the pit and they were going to dig the kids out of an Abervanlock. But he never spoke of it. Never said one word regarding that. But that was the reason why he came home, like, you know.
Yeah.
And that sticks in your memory, doesn't it? Little things they got, like, you know.
Not really little things, are they? were you aware of any disabilities, people with disabilities down the mines?
Well, when I was in the mine or before?
When you were working in the mines.
I would say a lot, because it was a regular occurrence. Our dad would come home and say to our mum, because obviously all this around here was worked in the Wylie Colliery, like. You know, the majority of them are Oakdale, like. And our dad used to come in and go, Cyril's at it today. He got buried, he's dead, and I used to pick up things like that, like, or he'd say, go away, and he, you know, didn't want to tell me or the other kids, he just took in general to mum, because they knew everyone, like, you know.
Yeah.
Or someone had his arm ripped off, or somebody had been crushed. And that was a common occurrence, I was. It didn't put me off, it just, I was fascinated by it all, like, you know. Because in your mind, I couldn't see it. But when I was there, I see men dead, yeah. Yeah, I carried men out dead.
Yeah.
Not a very nice experience, I know, but it was just part and parcel of it, you know.
It's the way things were.
Well, a lot of men had the disability, but they went back to work, not doing the same job, but doing a lighter job, you know. Perhaps on pit bottom, pressing a switch, or, you know, for the call to go in, or nothing so physical, like, there's a few on here, I forget his name, that's all I know, died with the one arm, remember, he had it ripped off.
Mm.
He went back to work, and he just worked on, in the lamp room, with one arm, you know, because he wouldn't, like an option today, to say, well, I'll be on the sick now the rest of my life, I'll get good money, because you didn't. So the option was, you go back to work, well, and get as much as you can, like, you know.
Well, you'd starve.
Yeah, that's what it was, because the money then wasn't compatible to what it is now. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the amount of people like. But yeah, I've seen a lot of disabilities. But I'll say this, I hope no one's offending you. The funniest one was, it was funny at the day. I forget his name, maybe after Emlyn, I think it was, man. Anyway. we was coming out of the face, and we had come a mile, and Emlyn worked on a switch, you know. And we used to ride the belt illegally, like, you know, instead of walking 3 miles, he'd keep the belt going for us, like, you know. And when we got off, the last one got off, he used to go and say whoever's on the point, that's it, we're all out now, and then he'd knock it off, and then we'd all go make our way up the pit, like. As he was walking up, he dropped dead, God love him. Right, he was 64, God love him, couldn't breathe, he had emphysema, he had everything, like, you know. And we tried to bring him around, like, but no, we couldn't. It was 4 or 5 of us, unofficial, like. And I know this may sound terrible. Anyway, we got him up the pit, see, and then the medical man was on top, like, with a stretcher, so we carried him down to the medical centre, like. And then, of course, this was afternoon shift. He phoned a manager, then he had to phone the police. And so anyway, we had to jump on our bus in Nancarrow. See, we were the furthest to come. Like, so the bus was going, come on, we've got to go. Like, we're late as it is. And we were driving up the hill. And one of the older men said, well, I think we've got to turn around and go back. And I was asking this Dennis Murphy, I said, what are we going back for? He said, well, if we go back, he said, and we put him in the bus and tell him that he actually died in the bus, his wife will get £1,000. See? Because otherwise, he wouldn't have got nothing, luck. So that's what we did. They put him in a bus then, and before he left the pit, they went, oh, yuck. And that's how his wife had the money, because...
Otherwise, she'd have had nothing.
He would have had nothing, luck. See? Mm-hmm. It was a very quick thinking, and I still smile to myself today. Might sound terrible, but I don't know. Is it that bad? No, I don't think so, is there?
No, you've got to be there, haven't you, really?
Yeah, so. Yeah. Oh, there's quite a few there, it is, yeah. But going back to the industrial industries, there's a lot of happened to me. I don't know if you want to know about it, or...
Yeah, carry on.
Well, the first one I got, we just got married, didn't we, Wendt? I got buried on a Friday afternoon. We had a roof fall come down, and because our face wasn't flat, it was on incline like that, if you understand. That was the seam of coal, it was, and I mean steep, down there. And just the whole thing toppled over, and that's all I remember. Well, I can remember, the fellow in front of me thinks, put your helmet on your face, because the coal above was so fine, it would have suffocated us, like, you know. So I put the thing on there, and a stone come down, and I don't know the size, but anyway, it came through a gap and it pinned me in the base of my spine, like, you know. And I couldn't move the thing, I couldn't feel nothing, I just said, I'm dying, you know. And then, I forget the name, he died after. But my trainee, I had a trainee with me, which I you're only supposed to keep him 3 feet from you, you know. Because he done nothing, so anything happens, you grab him and you look after him, that was... So he was buried, but he didn't want to live, because his wife was going to leave him. So we were looking at each other like that, buried again, and he's going, I don't care if they dig me out. Then he said, I'd rather die here, because my wife... And I was trying not to laugh, because I was in so much pain. Well, cut a long story short, anyway, they got us out. And when we went out in the head, and then they dug us out, and how do you feel? And I said, I can't feel anything from my waist down. Like, I said, it's all numb, like, right, we get it up. We come up the pit anyway, and there was ambulance on top of the pit, and I can always remember, the biggest black Jamaican doctor I've ever seen in my life. He was huge. One fat, he was just huge. And he was on top of the pit, and he said, he bent me over, and he was a nurse. He said, what's the matter, boy? I said, I can't feel anything. I said, I can't feel anything. Right, he said, in the ambulance, and we'll take you to Philly Miners. I said, okay then. So in the ambulance anyway. I got in Caerphilly Miners, obviously the local hospital, Miners Hospital, and a nurse came out trying to wash me down, because I'm all black, aren't I, you know, head to foot like. So they tried to wash me down, and it's all running on the floor outside, all the coal dust. So he got me in, and he said, right, and he started doing things. I said, I can't feel nothing, I just can't feel nothing. So he said, no, time's getting on now, I was supposed to be in at 9:45 luck, from afternoon shift, but it was like 3 o'clock in the morning now, luck. And he said, listen, what we're going to do, he said, we're going to take you home, he said, and you're going to lie on your living room floor all night, and then I'm going to come up and see you in the morning. I went, that's all right for me then. So anyway, they put me in the ambulance. I lived in Conwell in Vach at the time, man, and then this is absolutely true what I'm going to tell you, man. Right? I made this up very well. And... the ambulance driver driving down, I said, as we drove around the corner, I said, number 5 by there, boy, I said. So he said, right, we'll stop you. I said, look, why don't you just carry me arm in arm and put me in? I said, because I'm tired and I'm hurting and I just want to lie on the floor. He went, right on. So they had arm in arm around me now, weren't they? Right? And it must have been 4 o'clock went. So there it is, and I had my feet to the door by there, and they stand there, sit, and the one said, knock, he knocked, entered. Knocked again, and I said, she'll be down now, I said. And the light went on, and she opened the door, and she threw a bucket of water over us. Because she thought I'd gone clubbing with the boys. because Noah told her I was buried. Am I right? And he went, what a reception, mate. He said, your husband been buried. I thought he went to the club with the boys nightclubbing. Because we need just got married. And no one from the court would ever thought of phoning her up to tell her that I was buried. Strange, isn't it? What do you think?
Just a bit, yeah.
But the even funnier part than that, you know what it was?
No.
They done my back, and 2 weeks later I went back to work in the same place, and I got buried again. That's a bit of luck, wasn't it? Huh? The same place. I was walking up it and putting the bars on, all of a sudden I had a big rumble. I thought, oh dear God, no, again. Here we go again. Straight down again. So that was the first thing.
You get a bucket of water that time when you got home. No,
I didn't get it. No, I didn't get it there. But the trouble was that the management in them days decided, because I was buried and my friend, we wouldn't actually work in, that they actually deducted pay off us. Which is pretty good, isn't it?
Yeah.
That's what they done, though. So instead of having a full shift, I only had half a shift. Although I was buried till 12 o'clock. You're shaking your head, but that's exactly what happened there. And when I questioned my docket, the timekeeper said, well, the management said you wouldn't work in, you wouldn't. I dig out, so they deducted my pay as well.
Even though you were stuck in the mine?
Yeah.
Dear. So what effects has that actually had on your life now, today?
Today, you're glad you got me today anyway, because today I went for an industrial board for my vibration white finger.
Yeah.
I've had that since 1981. So, through circumstances, what actually happened up here anyway, the DWP got in touch with my wife and said he should be claiming a pension for his disabilities. And I said, well, I got paid out by the coal board. You know, when they all shut, you got paid out for my year in and my... But I said, no one mentioned the pension, like. Well, apparently I've been losing thousands upon thousands upon thousands, like. But I had the medical board, an independent one with the coal board, and they found that I got so much on one arm, so much on the other arm, like. So today, I've just come from it, actually, before we come here. And they're going to determine whether I got it or I haven't got it. So I said, well, I got paid it by independent people, you know, that the coal board employed, not us, the union, the coal board employed it, like. Yeah. And I don't think I get anything because that's, they put it down to all my other bad health. But I just done it because I was asked to do it, you know what I mean? But that affected greatly, and especially when I finish here today, you're going to think I'm a robotic man because I got so much wrong with me, you wouldn't believe it. my urine, I'm totally deaf in that, and I'm about 3/4 in that. And I haven't got my urine aid in that because the batteries are gone. I keep using so many batteries, they're gone. So that was another thing that affected our relationship. Well, not our relationship, it just, you deteriorate slowly, if you know what I mean. You try to keep working and working. I worked all my life, and you keep working and working, but then it comes to a point where you can't work anymore.
Yeah.
And then all these other things come out. You know, perhaps people have been, I don't know, I've been pensioned for the last 40 years of this. I haven't. Because no one told me. You know what I mean? Because I was working. Doesn't mean I'm not disabled, like, in any way, like. And of course, it's gone. They're just redundant. They are now. And my arm is just, that's all the power tools they used underground, see. So it was, ironically, that we come here today from that board. As a result, I don't know, it'll be... I would imagine it'll be a no, because someone will say, yeah, I don't think so, mate.
So with your hearing going, your wife can say things behind your back and you're not going to hear. Yes.
I tell you what they do.
Yes, we have great family and the kids.
I tell you what they do. They turn their face from each other, and my children, my sons, and they go, and that's all I can see is them going like that, see? So I know they're talking about me, see? And my son reckon if I was a horse, I'd be put down, wouldn't I, with everything wrong with me? You know, but that's just one of the things, isn't it? I accept that I got all these, I got a lot of disabilities from the pit, yeah. Would I change anything? No, I wouldn't change a thing. I wish I could go back down today. I really, really do. Because when you work down there, there's nothing like it. There's absolutely nothing like it at all.
If any of your children had ever wanted to go to Golden Mines, would you have...
Being a father, definitely not.
Definitely not.
And I tell you for a reason there, is I remember how I become to work down the pit, right? Because I left school when I was 14, actually, because of the date of my birthday, the 25th of August, coincided. So in them days, instead of waiting another year, you could finish at 14. So I finished at 14. Then I started working for this Idris Jones, lorry driving that. I was youngsters, but I was allowed to drive on colliery property because you didn't need a license because it was private. So
yeah.
I learned to drive a big lorry full of coal, take it from one end of the thing. And that's how I become. Now, when they shut the Wiley Colliery, most of mine is transferred to Oakdale. But our dad and about 40 others moved to Abbotridder, right?
Yeah.
For whatever reason he wanted to. We didn't want to go. So he moved, which is a very old-fashioned pit when he looked at it. It was very old in the middle of the town, you know, two pubs either side of the walkway going in, like, you know. You see miners in the pub with their lamp off who come up early to have a pint before they went back and had a shower. And it was that, although Dad was working there, that was before we joined with Nangaro, it was, I got the lorry one day and I said, I ain't doing this anymore. It was freezing cold, etc. So I walked in, and the training officer, they always had a training officer, because he's always looking for men, you know, or boys to go in the pit to train, like. So I walked in, and he went in, and he said, who are you? I said, Lynn Westwood, I said. He said, oh, what do you want? I said, any jobs you better? Well, where are you from? I said, Pontefraith. He said, oh, we got a couple of them working here. I said, oh, Dad works underground here, I said. He said, what's his name? I said, Fatty Westwood. Oh, right, he said. So Fatty Westwood, I said, yeah, well, they call him Fatty Westwood because he was so thin. That's why they call him Fatty Westwood. He was, you like, ah, but they call him Fatty. So he said, ah, he said, all right. Then he said, can you get up at 3 o'clock in the morning? I said, aye. All right, he said. Monday, now he said, next Monday, I'll send you a letter and you go straight to Britannia training, he said. And you do 2 months training there, then you come back to us. I said, aye, all right. And I said, how much a week? And he said, how much you want a week now, boy? I said, £5.50 a week for 6 days, I said. He said, well, you'll be on 14 quid. I said, I'll do me, I said. So anyway, I went home, and obviously, and a waste to me, how Dad must have come up the pit. Your boy, you're starting up there Monday. He said, no, you're not. No, you're not. So when our Dad, very quiet man, he came in the house, he said, I got a message off from the train off today. I said, oh, aye. And my mum said, you're going on the pit, to your boy? I said, aye. And he said, no, he said, there's no jobs there. He was mistaken, there's no jobs there. I went, oh, all right then. Well, it was a job there for me, but our Dad didn't want me to go down, so we made that up until I had the other letter, and I seen the letter, and I said, I'm going now, Dad, so when I finish with you then, you're not, that's it. But I think he was pleased in the end, because I seen a different side of him that I never, ever expected to see in my life. When you see a dad working, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He was all private up until then, wasn't he? And I think I had, my respect went through the roof with him.
Yeah,
because not only did I have to work down the mine, I had to work without saying too much of that, to be respected, and work hard and try to be better than the next fella next to you. And to achieve that, as he used to say, if you're sweeping a road, just try to be the best. If you're cleaning the window, just try to be the best window cleaner. No matter what you do in life, just try to be the best. And that's what I done. So it was a very proud experience, that was, for me. And that's how I got into the pit.
And I wouldn't
have let the boys go down there either. No, wouldn't go near it. I think she'd shoot them first. She wouldn't let them near it. It would have been proud to take someone down, mind, to show. At the time of a working mine, not like the pretend one up there, the real big deep mines, to show them how it was. Like my brother-in-law was from Norfolk, he was in the RAF, and he come down, and our dad arranged it for him to come down to see, you know. And I can remember he came in the house, and our dad said, well, you got to come and do the shift. It's not going to be a Saturday, Sunday, just go down and no one working. so you actually got to come with us, like. And he arranged it. And then I remember how Dad, he got in and he goes lower and lower and lower and lower. And then he said it was a dead end, the tunnel had ended, like, there's a seam of corner. And he said, oh, where we are? He said, well, there's a little hole there, we got to go up it, up the face. And then it all started up then, all the coal started, the noise, the water, the dust. And he just froze. And he'd be fighting the wars, and he said, I couldn't handle that, I couldn't, how are you going to work like that? And he crawled up the face, he said, how long's the face? He said, 300 yards. And he said, by the time he got there, he was a bag of nerves at the end, and he just, yeah, you've got to take me out. He said, I can't do this. So it shows, doesn't it? You know what I mean? Didn't bother me one bit, or the other boys, like. Mm. But it would be nice for my kids, if I could have given them that experience, just to say, well, this is what Dad done, like, you know? And damn proud of it as well, I was. But as for the other kids, no, they wouldn't do it. I still say, if there were a lot of pits open, I think some youngsters would like it. Whether it's right for their health, I can't say at this time. Possibly not. But don't forget, this country was made on coal and iron, mind.
Yeah.
So someone had to do it, didn't they? Unless we would have had nothing. Perhaps they've gone a bit too deep there, have I?
No. No? No, not at all.